The former Prime Minister John Howard has broken his post-election silence with a strident attack on the Rudd government's plans to withdraw Australian combat troops from Iraq. Mr. Howard says Australia should be making a greater contribution to help win a war that's about to enter its sixth year. He describes as naive and dangerous the new government's insistence that Afghanistan should be seen as the central front in the so-called war on terror. Mr. Howard made the comments while being feted in Washington for his 11-year rule and his strong friendship with the Bush administration. My Washington correspondent Michael Rowland reports.
He may have been spurned by Australia, but in Washington, John Howard is treated like a hero. The former Prime Minister has been the guest of honour at the annual dinner of this town's preeminent conservative think tank, the American Enterprise Institute. More than 1,400 of Washington's elite gathered to pay tribute to a man they see as a conservative icon. Mr. Howard received an award named after the man considered to be the father of neoconservatism, Irving Kristol. The American Enterprise Institute's James Wilson didn't hold back on his praise.
To John Winston Howard, stalwart all-rounder of politics and policy, who made good government a popular cause and advanced Australia fair and free.
John Howard used his speech to mount a strong defence of his government's record, saying it had left Australia in a much stronger position than the one it had founded in when the coalition took office in 1996. He was unapologetic about his ideological beliefs.
I speak to you tonight as a continuing and unapologetic advocate of the broad conservative cause, but restlessly conscious, as I know you will be, that the battle of ideas is never completely won.
But it was a battle of a different kind that's been exercising the former Prime Minister's mind, with the fifth anniversary of the invasion of Iraq fast approaching, and as one of the founding members of the so-called Coalition of the Willing, Mr. Howard is distinctly unhappy about his successor's approach to the war.
I'm disappointed that Australia's battle group will be withdrawing from southern Iraq in June as one of the new Labor government's election commitments, rather than making a greater contribution to training the Iraqis to maintain their own security. The Iraqi people desperately need the time and space created by the surge to sustain the tentative political progress we are now seeing. And it would be a tragedy if those gains were surrendered now by premature drawdowns.
This conflicts with the view of Australia's Defence Force Chief, Angus Houston, who told a parliamentary committee last month Australian troops had achieved their objective in southern Iraq and it was time to leave. Warming to his theme, Mr. Howard also took a swipe at what he called Australia's dominant liberal left media for focusing too much on the bad news coming from Iraq instead of reporting on positive developments. Turning his sights back to Kevin Rudd, Mr. Howard took issue with the Labor government's assertion the war in Afghanistan was the most pressing conflict.
While it may be politically convenient, this view is profoundly naive and dangerous. One only has to look at al-Qaeda's own words and actions to know that Iraq is every bit as much a major front in the war against terror as is Afghanistan. We simply cannot afford to lose in either.
Kevin Rudd will get a chance to discuss Australia's troop pullout from Iraq when he meets George Bush at the White House later this month. But the Prime Minister has already made it very clear he has no intention of reversing the policy. It was the first time since last year's election that Mr. Howard has weighed into domestic politics, and as he prepares to enter the international speaker's circuit, it may not be his last. Danielle Petker, the American Enterprise Institute's foreign policy chief, says Mr. Howard's comprehensive election defeat should in no way hurt his new career as an international commentator.
Let me just remind people that Winston Churchill was also defeated. You know, this is what happens in democracies. Leaders are defeated. That's what makes us strong. That's what makes us move on. And no, we don't just throw away statesmen for their contributions to the public well-being after a decade plus two decades of public service and say, thanks very much, you know, bye-bye.
Danielle Pletker of the American Enterprise Institute, ending Michael Rowland's report.